You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Now this week we're continuing our series in Acts called To the Ends of the Earth, where we're going through the book of Acts and seeing how the early church grew, how what they valued, what they lived for, and how they spread the good news of Jesus, not just into their families, but into their communities and into the surrounding communities and into all the nations. And last week we looked at Acts chapter 1. Where we saw the ascension of Jesus. 40 days he'd been with his disciples after being raised from the dead. And he ate with them. And he taught with them. And he lived with them. And then all of a sudden, 40 days later, he's no longer with them. He ascends into heaven. And the disciples have to figure out what this life will look like without Jesus in the way that they've always known him. But before he ascends into heaven, he promises that he's going to send them a helper. And 10 days later, 10 days after that ascension, Jesus fulfills that promise as he sends his Holy Spirit to be with his people. And that's what we read about in Acts chapter 2, where the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they're able to speak the good news of Jesus into their communities so that people could hear in their own languages. And that's the day that the church explodes, right? 3,000 people were baptized and added to their number that very day. What a testimony that is to how the Spirit works in and through his people. But right, all of a sudden now everything's different. This Jesus that they've been following is no longer with them in the way that he used to be. But now instead there's this Holy Spirit that's working in people in powerful ways. And so I like to think when I read through Acts chapter 2, you know, that's the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit comes on them. What happened the next day? And the next day? And the next day? After this big, awesome event, what happened to those disciples who were filled with the Holy Spirit? What happened to those new believers, those 3,000 who were baptized and received the Holy Spirit? What happened the next day? Do you think they went back to their homes and lived as though nothing had changed? No. We read about it in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And then the rest of the section through the end of the chapter gives us a glimpse into what the early church valued and practiced. Now the early church, they had a different culture and they had different circumstances that led to the way they practiced. So we can't just look at their practices and say, you know what, if we just took what they did and did it today, then the church would grow. Instead, we need to look at their values. But there is, at least what I found interesting this week, I want to take a glimpse into their culture and note one thing. I want you to remember that in the time of Jesus and in the time of the early church, remember who was in control of the government. It was the Romans. And the Romans weren't very kind to Christians. It was the Romans who hung Jesus on a cross. And as we read throughout the Old Testament, as we read throughout the book of Acts, and as we get into those epistles, we see that there are many of those epistles that were written by Paul while he was in jail. There are many times where the disciples want Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom and to overthrow the Roman government. But that wasn't part of God's plan. God's plan was that Jesus would, and that the disciples would go and make disciples of all nations. And even in the midst of a government that jailed and killed its leaders, of the leaders of the early church, the church grew by leaps and bounds. And so as we consider our culture today, we have to keep in mind the Great Commission, where Jesus doesn't tell us to go and make a Christian nation, but yet to go and make disciples of all nations. And so that's why it's important for us today to look at the values of the early church and to see how they fit for us today. And we see that in verse 42 and following. We see those values. And so there are four of them that I want us to look at today from the early church, what they valued. They valued devotion to God and His Word. They valued fellowship with one another. They valued radical generosity and sharing. And they valued praying and worshiping together. This is what the life of a new believer looked like. This is what it looked like on day 51 and day 52 and day 53 after Jesus' resurrection. You know, the days after Pentecost. This is what they valued. But it wasn't just for the church. It wasn't just so that the church could grow together and strengthen each other. This was for the benefit of those outside the church. This was for the benefit of the community. The church had influence in its community, a good, a positive influence. And because of that, because people weren't just staying in the building, but rather going out into their communities and loving their communities. Because of that, take a look at how the chapter ends. Verses 46 and 47. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. There's a little phrase in there, having favor with all the people. It's really easy to skip over that phrase. But again, what we see is that the church had influence on its community. And because of that, because of the influence that it had on the community, look at that very last sentence. The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Because of the work of the Spirit through God's people into their communities, people were hearing about Jesus. People were being saved, and the church was growing in number day by day, adding to the number of those who were saved. So my first question for you today is this. How are you taking Jesus into your community? How is your devotion to God and His Word, your fellowship with one another, your radical generosity in sharing, your worshiping and praying, how is that impacting your community? And how is the Holy Spirit working through you to grow His kingdom? But maybe as I asked that question, that made you tense up a little bit. Because that makes you uncomfortable. Or maybe even gives you a little bit of fear, right? Maybe you're afraid of taking Jesus into your community. You're afraid of how someone might respond. You're afraid of not having all the right answers. Well, let me remind you that just as Jesus sent a helper, His Holy Spirit, on that day of Pentecost to His disciples, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and able to go out with great joy and great confidence to spread the good news, Jesus gives you His same Spirit who goes with you, who goes before you. So there's no need for fear. But maybe even with that said, maybe that feels like too big of a step for you to go talk to someone who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, to go talk to them about Jesus, or to go take Jesus into your community in that way. So I'm often a fan of baby steps. If you've been with me in confirmation or in other discussions like we talk about on Pew Talk, I like to take baby steps in the right direction. What's one step that we can take towards that ultimate goal? So my baby step challenge for you this week is this. Write down the good news of Jesus. All right, but make it personal. How has Jesus affected your life? How has Jesus changed your life? What difference has he made in your life? And after you do that, if you want to take one more step, tell that story to someone. Maybe it's someone in your family. Or maybe it's someone here in this congregation. But tell your story, because your story is powerful. Sharing your story has so much influence. And the beauty of sharing your story is that it's your story. No one can tell you that that's wrong, because it's your story. And to share your story, you don't have to have all the information, right? You don't have to know the order of the books of the Bible. To share your story, you don't have to know who Shem, Ham, and Japheth are. To share your story, you don't have to even be a great storyteller. Right? You don't have to go preach at someone and tell them why they should believe in Jesus. You just share your story. You tell about what Jesus has done for you and what difference that has made in your life. And through that, the Holy Spirit is then planting a seed in someone's life that might eventually, maybe someone the next day or maybe years later, comes along and waters that seed. And then maybe again the next day or maybe years later, the Holy Spirit grows that seed into faith. And then because the Holy Spirit worked through you to share your faith, the church grows. So may we be a people. May you be a person who through the sharing of your story, of what God has done in your life, through the work of the Holy Spirit, may you be someone who raises up Christ followers in your family and into your community. Amen.